Day 4.
Washington, D.C. Chief Bailey, please. Nicole Charbonneau. Nicole had the front cover of the Washington Post splayed across her desk. I'll hold. She answered the question the police officer had asked. She was reading the article's sketchy details.
Nicole, you know I love to hear from you, but sweetheart, I'm really busy right now, Chief Bailey said as he answered the phone. Please stop bothering me.
Good morning to you, too. Nicole was very used to the chief's booming bass voice. It didn't intimidate her in the least. After all, she had worked with him for 3.5 years. Who are these guys?
You know I can't answer that.
Chief,
you're not a DA anymore.
You're just aiding the cover-up, Nicole tossed out.
Nikki, I'm dead serious here. Keep your nose out of this. The less you know, the better.
Nicole's interest went from casual to piqued interest now. So there is going to be a cover-up.
I didn't say that, Bailey answered.
Yes, you did, in a roundabout way. Jerome, we've worked together for years. I know you. Nicole looked over the photos in the paper again. Her eyes caught the shoe of one of the covered bodies. Oh, my God, she murmured.
What?
Bailey asked. These men in the alley. They were... No way. They couldn't be, Nicole said to herself. She held the paper closer to her eyes. They are in some kind of service. Marines?
Nikki, stop it, Bailey yelled. I can't tell you one way or the other. Now stop it.
Not Marines. Those shoes, though. There is something about them. I've seen them before.
I'm hanging up now, Nikki.
Another cover-up is coming. Is a cover-up happening, Jerome?
Stay out of it, Nikki.
Bailey was almost pleading now. There is. I'll give you a call back later with some scenarios, Nicole said, as her mind started piecing things together.
What part of stay out of this don't you understand?
Bailey answered, annoyed with Nicole's persistence.
This goes higher than you think, and you are not privy to this information. Now, go back to your private citizen life and let us law enforcement types deal with this.
I know where I've seen those shoes.
I'm hanging up now, Nikki. Have a great day.
Nicole heard a click on the other end. Jerome? She called into the phone. They are Secret Service agents. Those are Jeff's shoes. Nicole murmured to herself. Jeff was Nicole's ex-fiancé. Although she hadn't seen him in a little over a year, she had always chided him about the shoes he wore. He went for comfort, especially because he was on his feet most of the day and had to be able to move quickly. He didn't like the really dressy shoes that others in his line of duty chose. It can't be. Nicole looked through her Rolodex and found Jeff's number. She picked up the phone and dialed the number. There was no answer. Did she dare to call Jeff's boss? Why not? She could just casually ask about Jeff, saying that she had discovered something of his that she wanted to return. It was innocent enough. She gathered the courage to call Jeff's boss. Hello, I'm looking for James McLaren, please. Nicole waited a few minutes on the line. Hi, James. It's Nicole Charbonneau. I'm fine, thank you. I'm looking for Jeff.
You're not the only one. He didn't report this morning. Are you two back together?
James asked. No, I stumbled across an old family heirloom that he had given me when we were together. I don't feel right keeping it. I was going to ask him if he wanted it back, Nicole answered.
Well, if he doesn't get here soon, and if it's worth anything, he may need to hock it,
James answered. He was very annoyed. It's not like him to not call in or to be late. You know that.
There's no answer at his apartment, and to make things worse, another guy hasn't shown up this morning either. It's not like we aren't at some heightened crisis level, you know, with the assassination and all.
James was venting a bit, and he realized it.
I'm sorry, Nikki. It's just bad timing.
Nicole was in shock. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. Two men from the Secret Service missing this morning, and two unidentified men in an alley murdered. In a calm voice, she responded, No problem, James. I hope they show up soon. If you remember, tell Jeff to give me a call when he gets a chance. She knew that call would never come. You take care of yourself, James. Bye. She hung up the phone and sat back in her chair in shock. Her face was pale, and she was still in shock when Carol walked into her office. Carol was shocked to see Nicole the way she was. Hey, are you okay? Nicole snapped out of it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just got some really bad news. Nicole began to fold up the paper to set it aside. Sorry. Anything you want to talk about? Carol asked, sitting down across from Nicole's desk. No. Thanks, Nicole answered, still trying to gain her balance. So, what's on your agenda today? Carol laughed. That sounds so formal. I have to be in court this afternoon. What about you? Carol was unaware that Tony Schaffer had just walked into Nicole's office. I'll be doing some research on a case most of the day. Hi, Tony. Can I help you with something? Nicole addressed him. Carol stood to leave. Well, I'll talk with you later. Need to get my documents together for this afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Schaffer.
Morning, Carol. Good luck in court today,
Tony answered as she walked past him. Carol acknowledged his wish with a thank you.
Morning, Nikki,
Tony said as he walked up to the chair that Carol had vacated. He sat down.
Any plans this evening?
He asked, even though he was still upset with how their last conversation had ended. Tony wanted Nicole by his side. No, not really. Why?
Mark is giving a little party at Blair House,
Tony blurted, not realizing how disrespectful it sounded.
What?
Nicole exclaimed with disdain and disbelief in her voice.
Now wait, it is only a small party. Party isn't the right word, and that was a bad choice on my part. It is a small gathering meant to get the cabinet and important members of Congress together to remember President Andrews,
Tony said quickly. Who is going to be there? Nicole asked with a smirk on her face.
I told you, most of the cabinet, Senator Jenkins, Barker, a few others that are on key committees. You know, the usual list of suspects.
Tony gave a short laugh. In light of what Nicole had just been thinking, the choice of words almost seemed appropriate.
Look, Mark just wants to honor President Andrews and have some informal talks about which policies would honor him appropriately. It would be a good opportunity for you to get your 2 cents in,
Tony added, hoping to entice her. Nicole sat for a moment. She wasn't sure how much information Senator Jenkins was being given, but it might give her the opportunity to present her theory. Although the theory was not totally thought out, maybe she could pass on a small bit that would help him. She decided she couldn't pass up the opportunity. All right, Tony. What time should I meet you there? Tony, being the old school gentleman he was, answered,
I'll pick you up at 7:30. There will be food and drink, so no need to go to dinner first.
I just want to say that having this meeting prior to the president being buried is just inconceivable to me, Nicole answered. And don't be surprised if I tell Mark that.
Just add, Mr. President, before you lay into him, Nikki,
Tony reminded her as he walked out of her office.
Jenkins is home. Whereas Nicole and Tony always prided themselves on getting to the office early, it was usually mid-morning before most senators got to their offices on Capitol Hill. Most usually arranged breakfast meetings at various establishments around town, or took the time to read upcoming legislation in the comfort of their home offices. This happened to be one of those mornings that Senator Jenkins had scheduled to do just that. There were some votes coming up on some legislation that he wanted to read before heading into the office. When his alarm went off at 6, he was very tempted to roll over and catch another hour of sleep. His missing lower right leg was throbbing with the phantom pain that had haunted him ever since his injury in the line of duty. He sat up and reached for his prosthesis. Securing his fake lower leg, he stood and reached for his robe. Walking out of the bedroom, he headed to the kitchen to start some coffee. He needed to brew it strong this morning. He hadn't slept well. The conversation at FBI headquarters with the director had kept him tossing and turning all night. After pouring the water into the coffee maker, Jenkins walked to the front door to get the morning paper. He had opened the door and stooped down to pick the paper up when a pair of shoes appeared in front of his eyes from nowhere. Senator Jenkins picked up the paper, beginning to stand upright as his eyes scanned the legs that were attached to those shoes. He continued his motion upward. When he saw the face of the man standing in front of him, he smiled. "I was wondering when I would have the honor of your presence. Come on in." Jenkins opened the door further and moved aside to let his visitor enter his condo. As the visitor passed, the senator stood for a moment and looked around the outside. He wanted to make sure that his visitor hadn't been followed, although he knew that the visitor would have taken great strides to make sure that hadn't occurred. When confident that the man had not been followed, the senator went inside, shutting the door behind him.
It was in the early afternoon when Nicole was told that Senator Jenkins was going to go in front of the press and to make an announcement. One of the junior associates poked a head in her office and told her the junior associates were going to head to the conference room to watch it. Nicole had not accomplished much on her normal work, but instead was making a list of her possible suspects and their possible motives. She gathered her papers and put them in a folder that she placed in the top drawer of her desk for now. She stood up and followed her colleague to the conference room. They entered the room just as Senator Jenkins arrived at the podium. He looked uncommonly nervous, fidgeting with his tie and buttoning his coat. He placed a leather-bound folder on the podium and opened it. His normally calm, authoritative voice seemed to waver as he began his announcement. "Good morning." He paused and took a quick drink of water. "I won't be taking any questions after this announcement. Today, I stand before you, the press and the American people, to announce the formation of a special investigation into the assassination of the president. The investigation will be handled out of my office, and when appropriate, the findings of the investigation will be presented to a special commission that I will be forming this afternoon. Why am I forming this special investigation and commission? I am not at liberty to say at this point, except to say that information which has been forwarded to me from the FBI and others in the intelligence community has prompted me to this action. It is, in my opinion, which has been formed and guided by my love of this country, that it is of utmost importance to ensure that President Andrews's brutal assassination not be met with years of conspiracy theories and speculation. That is all I have to say at this time." Jenkins closed the leather-bound folder that contained his statement, lowered his head, and walked quickly out of the room as the press shouted questions at him. He never once paused to answer any question, nor did he make any eye contact with the press. "Holy shit," one of the associates said out loud. "Unbelievable. What?" another associate asked. "Well, I never would have thought that Jenkins would be involved in the assassination." Nicole's head snapped to look at the associate who had made the comment. She didn't have to ask the question. Most of the room did for her. What are you talking about? Jenkins is beyond reproach. He is power-hungry and greedy, just like the rest of them. What better way to cover up your involvement than to take over the investigation? There is none. This way, he can control what gets told to the American public. He can also point fingers at those who would be running against him for the presidency. The associate stood up to leave the room. I wouldn't put it past him. And it is politics as usual. When did you get so cynical? Nicole asked him as he approached her to walk out the door. I'm not cynical, Nikki. I'm a realist. Who has the most to gain from launching this investigation? And who is the senator that leads the Intelligence Committee and sits on the Financial Committee and Foreign Relations Committee? He has maneuvered himself very well. This is the next step to secure his run for president, and he'll make sure that we all fall in love with him and with his quaint southern accent by the time his election campaign is announced. I wouldn't be surprised if we aren't all begging him to run, and in all that hustle and bustle, we, the American public, will be so deliriously happy to have what appears to be a real leader again, we won't even notice that nothing has been reported on Andrews's assassination. He turned around to see everyone's scornful looks. Just watch. You can chide me all you want if it doesn't happen. With that final remark, the associate left the room. Nicole smiled as he left. A smile that slowly faded when she realized that one comment she could agree with was that the American public may not ever know the truth of President Andrews's assassination. Her thoughts went back to her list of suspects and motives. She hadn't considered Jenkins. She headed back to her office. She had more thinking to do before this evening. Blair House. By the time Tony arrived to pick her up for the gathering at Blair House, Nicole was pretty confident that Senator Jenkins had nothing to do with the assassination. If the opportunity presented itself, she was going to present the information to the senator that the two bodies in the alley behind the Air and Space Museum were the bodies of two Secret Service agents. That should impress the senator enough to get her some kind of appointment to his commission, she hoped. She wanted to be a part of the investigation, and having an ordinary citizen on the committee might calm the talk of Jenkins's involvement in the assassination. Her skills from her days working in the district attorney's office wouldn't hurt, either. When Tony and Nicole arrived at Blair House, Nicole honestly couldn't remember a thing Tony had been rambling on about as they had driven to the gathering. Her mind was racing, going over all the facts, her facts, as she started for the door with Tony at her side. Nikki, Tony asked, are you feeling all right?
Yes, why?
Nicole asked. You just seem really distant.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a case I'm working on, and you know me, until I get all the facts correct, I can't stop thinking about it.
Well, try and relax tonight. Sometimes you worry me that you work entirely too hard, Tony said as the door to Blair House was opened by the new First Lady.
Hello, Catherine.
Tony greeted the visibly upset First Lady. He hugged her.
I'm so sorry, Catherine,
he whispered in her ear.
Thank you, Tony. Sorry to have to greet you this way. I just got off the phone with Barbara Andrews. It is just heart-wrenching.
Catherine turned her attention to Nicole.
Welcome, Ms. Charbonneau.
Nicole was surprised that Catherine knew her by name. Although Nicole had attended many functions with Tony, where Catherine and the now president were in attendance, Nicole had never really talked with Catherine. To Nicole's knowledge, this was the first time that Nicole had actually talked to the First Lady in person, which in itself was a strange predicament.
Maybe Catherine knew more than Nicole thought regarding Mark's many indiscretions. That thought made Nicole wonder if Catherine even suspected that Mark had desired her. The idea of Mark and her in an affair made Nicole sick.
Mrs. Stevens, I am so sorry for your loss. If you could express my sympathies to Mrs. Andrews the next time you talk.
Catherine smiled at Nicole, whose gracious comment caught her off guard.
I certainly will, Miss Charbonneau. Thank you.
She turned to point in the direction of the gathering. Mark and the others are down the hallway to the left. I will be there shortly. I need to freshen up a bit. She closed the door behind them. If you will excuse me. She started as she took their coats.
Of course we will,
Tony interrupted as he motioned for Nicole to begin down the hallway. Nicole reached the room with Tony at her side. Tony had been correct. It was a relatively small gathering, mostly members of President Andrews's cabinet. Heads of the various powerful committees in Congress were in attendance. For a brief second, she almost gave Mark Stevens the benefit of the doubt and thought that he really was interested in honoring the president. As they entered the room, all eyes turned to see them. Mark rose from a chair where he had been in conversation with the Secretary of Defense.
Hi, Tony and Nikki. Thanks for coming.
Our pleasure. I mean,
Tony answered, shaking his hand and furrowing his brow in the odd way his answer sounded.
I meant it is our honor, Mr. President.
He wasn't satisfied with that answer either. Mark smiled.
I know, it is awkward,
he answered, letting go of Tony's hand.
Continue to call me Mark, Tony. We have been friends for such a long time, I'm not sure I'd answer you if you called me anything but Mark. I think it is appropriate for me to call you Mr. President, regardless of that. It will take some getting used to, though.
Tony answered.
Ms. Charbonneau, thank you for coming as well.
Mark extended his hand. Nicole took his hand and resisted the motion that Mark was trying to undertake. He wanted to kiss her hand, but Nicole withdrew it before he was able to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President, she answered.
Would you like something to drink, Miss Charbonneau?
Catherine asked, as she came up behind Nicole, a strict-sounding disapproval of her husband's apparent action in her voice.
Yes, please,
Nicole answered, so very happy that her rejection had possibly been seen by the First Lady.
Tony?
Catherine asked. I'll have the usual, Catherine, thank you.
I'll help you, Mrs. Stevens,
Nicole said, as she followed Catherine to the bar in the room.
Thank you,
Catherine said as they walked.
The staff has been working so hard to pack us up that I didn't have the heart for them to work this evening. So if you need anything, don't hesitate to ask or even help yourself.
That was very sweet of you. I imagine this is a hardship on so many people.
One doesn't stop to think.
Nicole answered.
Yes. You know, in some ways, our staff knows us so much better than most of the American public. They see all the intimate details of our daily lives.
Catherine said, beginning to pour Tony scotch. She looked up at Nicole when she said intimate. Nicole caught her meaning.
This is my first visit to Blair House during your and President Stevens's stay here.
Nicole started.
I like what you've done with this room.
Nicole was trying to work out a nice way to let Catherine know that she had no interest in Mark Stevens.
Thank you. What would you like to drink, dear?
Catherine asked.
I'll have a gin and tonic, please,
Nicole answered. She paused, but then decided she needed to put Catherine's suspicions to rest.
Mrs. Stevens, this may be a bit forward of me.
Be as forward as you like,
Catherine answered, the tone of her voice sending the signal that she was preparing for the worst.
Thank you,
Nicole answered as she took her drink, and started in a low voice.
I'd like to put your mind at ease concerning, well, let's say some possible speculation you may have observed or heard about your husband and possibly myself.
She cleared her throat, trying to muster the courage. She continued in a low voice, stepping a bit closer to Catherine.
Am I right in my assumption of your speculation?
Yes. I know how Mark feels about you. You have a lot of spunk to show up here this evening, Miss Charbonneau,
Catherine said sharply. Nicole looked down and almost smiled.
Mrs. Stevens, I have no romantic or even casual interest in your husband.
She looked at Catherine, who had a surprised look on her face. I don't know who told you otherwise, but it is of great importance to me that you know I don't know your husband in an intimate way. Catherine almost seemed relieved, and she smiled at Nicole.
Miss Charbonneau, of all the things I have heard about you, there is one quality that is true that I can attest to this very minute.
I'm not sure I want to know what that is,
Nicole said, again looking down at her feet.
Your honesty is admirable, Catherine said, extending her hand and taking Nicole's into hers.
She continued in a low voice.
Thank you for telling me what you did. You are aware of the rumors, then?
Painfully aware. And I am not the one spreading them, Nicole answered.
Part of the reason I was so upset earlier was because of the call from Barbara, but also the thought of having this president's mistress.
Nicole's eyes shot up to meet Catherine's.
Right here under the same roof as I am was almost too much to bear this evening.
She squeezed Nicole's hand to keep her from talking.
I thank you, Nicole, for being so direct. And now I can hold my head high this evening.
Mrs. Stevens, I don't know what you have heard or from whom, but you have every reason to hold your head high when I am in the room with you now, and especially in the future, Nicole went on. If you would be more comfortable with me leaving, just say the word.
No, please stay.
But know that I will have the upper hand the next time Mark threatens replacing me with you,
Catherine answered.
I must get this drink to Tony. Thank you again.
With that, Catherine left Nicole standing alone at the bar in shock. Nicole watched Catherine walk over to Mark and Tony. She took a drink of her gin and tonic, suppressing the urge to down the whole drink in one swallow. She had known Mark Stevens was scum, but she hadn't realized how much of a scumbag he really was until this moment. And yet, in some way, she wished she could be a fly in the room when Catherine got her chance to throw it back at Mark. So deep in thought, Nicole didn't notice that Senator Jenkins was approaching.
Good evening, Nikki, he said as he reached her. Nicole jumped back to the reality of the room at his greeting. I really must find some way of saying hello to you that doesn't scare you half to death, he chuckled.
Nicole smiled. Oh, it isn't you, Senator. I just need to clear my mind of a number of things and stay in the moment. Senator Jenkins poured himself another drink.
How are you this evening? Nicole asked.
As well as can be expected, I suppose. Like you, I'm in a contemplative mood.
The senator lifted his glass of scotch to toast with Nicole's glass. Their glasses clinked, their eyes met, and they both took a drink. Senator, I was surprised by your announcement today.
Jenkins looked at Nicole.
Really? Why is that?
I'm not sure.
Perhaps part of it is because it is so quick after the incident to form a special investigation.
It seems most are surprised by it, but rest assured I have my reasons.
Jenkins took another drink.
Besides, when you look back at most of the assassinations, commissions have been formed to look over the findings.
Yes, that is true, Senator. Nicole started, unsure of how she wanted to proceed.
I know something, and I'm not sure how to start the discussion.
I've told you before, Nikki, to call me Bobby. Perhaps that will help.
Nicole smiled.
It's about the double murder in the alley behind...
Jenkins reached out and took Nicole's elbow. He led her away from the others and into the hallway.
The Air and Space Museum,
she finished as they reached the hallway. She had a confused look on her face, but continued, actually relieved that they could talk more privately.
I know they are Secret Service agents.
Jenkins looked at her with a look of confusion first, and then with an intense look, which Nicole mistook for anger.
I suggest that you keep any speculation, and that is all that is on your part, to yourself.
But,
Nicole started,
if you would like to remain alive, I would stop your meddling and leave the investigation up to my staff and the FBI.
Are you threatening me, Senator?
Whichever answer gets you to stop.
The senator answered sternly and coldly as he deliberately brushed past her and back into the room. Nicole felt her breath leave her body. She felt like she was being suffocated. The fear the senator had instilled in her with the tone of his voice and the deliberate brush with her body was causing her heart to palpitate. Her flight or fight response was beginning to raise her body temperature. Could it be that Senator Jenkins could be the greedy, power-hungry, cold-blooded conspirator behind the assassination, as her colleague had suggested earlier in the day? She started for the door, where Catherine intercepted her.
Nicole, are you feeling all right?
Catherine asked.
Nicole tried to gather her composure,
but it wasn't going to happen.
I'm sorry, I just need some air.
She walked to the front door as Catherine grabbed her coat from the closet. Nicole took it and opened the door.
Thank you. Good night.
She slipped to the other side of what she felt was the safety of the night air. She hurriedly threw on her coat and began to walk to the gatehouse.
Open it, please,
she said in a stern voice.
You shouldn't be out walking alone, ma'am.
I'll be fine, thank you,
Nicole said as she almost ran through the gate. She turned down the street, looking for a telephone to call Carol. She needed her faithful friend and her experience of getting out of any tight situation. She picked up her pace, her heels clicking on the sidewalk, echoing in the dark winter night. She rounded the corner, which placed her in a business district where she could find a phone. She entered a restaurant and went directly to the payphones.
I need you to come and get me,
she said, as soon as Carol answered the phone. She gave Carol the details where she could be found and then hung up. She had to get control of the adrenaline that was pulsing through her body. Carol didn't ask any questions or resist the thought of showing up later. She had never heard Nicole's voice that scared. It was only a matter of 10 minutes before Carol entered the restaurant.
Nikki,
she said as she entered.
What's the matter? Let's go, Nicole said as she exited the restaurant. They quickly moved to Carol's double-parked car. As soon as they were in the vehicle, Carol pulled away. The traffic she pulled into didn't waste any time honking their horns and yelling expletives out of hastily wound-down windows.
What the hell is going on, Nikki?
Carol demanded. Nicole sat for a moment, trying to gather her thoughts.
I'm not sure, Carol, but I think Senator Jenkins just threatened me.
What? You're insane,
Carol answered with a little chuckle. She looked over at Nicole and realized that she was serious.
What happened that made you think he threatened you? And in what way?
In the conference room at work when you were in court, Jenkins announced his special investigation into the assassination of President Andrews. One of the associates said that Jenkins was involved in the assassination.
That's crazy. What would he have to gain from assassinating the president?
Power, and the investigation would put him in the news for the next year or so, strengthening his image to the American people, and the world for that matter, to run for president himself. Anyway, I went through 100 scenarios at least, and none led me to his involvement. So this evening, I thought I would share with him my theory on the 2 dead bodies that were found in the alley behind the Air and Space Museum.
You what?
Carol was getting confused.
What bodies?
There were 2 men murdered behind the Air and Space Museum. It was in the paper this morning.
Oh, okay,
Carol said, remembering she had hastily read the story.
You developed a theory on that murder?
Yes. One of the men was Jeff.
Your ex?
Yes.
And you know this how?
Carol asked. The shoes on one of the men were the shoes Jeff wore. Carol laughed. Nicole, however, wasn't amused.
Oh, come on, Nikki. Do you know how many shoes look alike in the world? You are basing your whole theory on a pair of shoes that happened to be on the body of a person murdered in the alley who happens to be your ex-fiancé?
I thought the same thing. But I called Jeff's condo and no answer. So I called his boss, and Jeff hadn't reported to work. He was never late.
So one day he's late. It happens to all of us. Don't you get it, Carol? The men in the alley were 2 Secret Service agents. James said that Jeff and one other man had not reported for duty. This is just too much of a coincidence.
Okay, fine. But what does all this have to do with Jenkins threatening you? I started to give this information to Jenkins, and he rushed me out of the room, into the empty hallway, and told me if I wanted to remain alive, that I would stop snooping around and never speak about this to anyone.
Sounds like good advice to me, Nikki. You are making some pretty serious accusations. And, not to mention, you are not exactly a part of the club, so to speak. You are not privy to all the things that are happening in Washington. You are always warning me that these people are ruthless. I think you need to take your own advice on this one.
Nicole sat in the car, looking out the window, as Carol pulled up to her condo. I can't help but think I'm onto something here, Carol. You should have seen his reaction.
Even if you are onto something here, Nikki, and even if Jenkins is a part of it, what are you going to do about it? Tell Bailey and have the DC cops arrest Jenkins? You do understand that Jenkins is head of the Intelligence Committee. Talk about someone who could make you disappear. Let it go, Nikki.
Carol sat for a moment before adding,
and I don't believe he threatened you. I think he was just giving you some friendly advice to keep your mouth shut and your nose out of it.
Nicole looked at Carol.
Whoever ordered the assassination of the president has lots of money and lots of power, Carol explained. In either case, they hold the trump card over you and me. If you want to form theories and motives because it is something you like doing, then go for it. But I wouldn't be sharing those with some of the most powerful men on this planet. Do you know what I mean?
You don't believe me.
It is not a matter of believing you or not. I'm just saying it's not a game, and you are not in the position to do anything about it.
Carol motioned to the door of Nicole's condo.
Now, go get some sleep, and I'll see you in the office in the morning. Tomorrow night, we'll go out and blow off some steam at conversations.
Nicole smiled.
I had forgotten about that. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nicole got out of the car and walked to her condo. Carol didn't drive away until Nicole was safely inside. Nicole was very tired and went right up to her bedroom. Maybe Carol was right. She certainly didn't have all the facts of the case. Then a few minutes after climbing into her bed, she was fast asleep.
Meanwhile, Kevin Thompson had been having probably the worst day at the agency in his 12-year career. It ended with the director calling him into the office to voice his displeasure at Thompson letting Sean Atkins escape. Although Thompson knew that Sean was not the assassin, he'd had to endure the hour-long tongue-lashing. At home, he sat down on the chair in front of his television to catch the news before he headed off to bed. He popped open a can of beer and settled in for a rest. He was only half-listening until a story caught his attention. Senator Robert Jenkins announced today that he will be forming a special investigation. The announcer went on reading his copy. Well, this wasn't getting any better. More bureaucracy wasn't what this case needed. In disgust, Thompson flipped the television off and set his half-empty can of beer on the end table. He sighed as he realized that yet another conspiracy was being played out before his eyes. He smirked as he realized just how powerless he was at the agency. "I'm just a puppet, trying to keep people from cutting my strings," he said out loud. He made movements with his arms like he was a puppet. He shook his head in disgust. "What is the use?" he questioned, as he stood up and headed for his bed.
Hi, this is Linda Riesenberg-Fissler. Thanks for listening to Day 4 of Blind Influence. I just wanted to let you know that this audiobook, which was produced by Skyboat Media, is available at Audible and also at Downpour. So have a quick Google for Blind Influence at Audible, and you'll be able to find it and download it. Gabrielle and Stefan do a wonderful job with this book, and I hope that you will purchase a copy and enjoy listening to it. I have a goal to actually have Skyboat Media read Blind Persuasion, Blind Alliance, Cloaked, and then Book 5 also, which I'm working on now. If you would like to support me in doing that, I have a Patreon page. It's www.patreon.com/Linda Riesenberg-Fissler. There you can read the Book 5 free write as I'm writing it, and also be introduced to a new book, a fantasy series that I'm writing called Tales of Regenus. The first book is called Discovery of the Oracle. So hop on over to patreon.com/Linda Riesenberg-Fissler, become a patron, and you can read along with those free writes. They get published every week. We have Tales Thursday, Free Write Wednesdays, and then Teaching Tuesday, where I'll also be providing courses on writing and painting. Thank you again for your support, and thanks for listening.